Today, as we focus on Christian education, we'll do so considering a few thoughts from each of the texts that we previously heard read before. We'll do so with the short outline, teach, learn, and switch. We'll see what's going on with that. First, we begin in Deuteronomy chapter 6 with Moses' instruction to teach. See, Moses is giving this instruction to the people who are finally on the verge of the promised land. They've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, and now they're gathered on the plains of Moab, and they're ready to go into the promised land. And so Moses stops to remind them of all the things that God had done for them and to remind them of the laws that God had given them along the way. You can really think of this whole book of Deuteronomy as Moses' farewell sermon, a sermon that he's giving after 40 years of leading the people. That's really what the word Deuteronomy means. Deutero means two, and nomos means law. So Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. Moses was reminding the people of the covenant that God had made with them on Sinai and also the laws that he had given them, setting them apart to be his own people. So at the start of Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses gives his simple purpose. These are the commands, decrees, and laws that the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping his decrees. Hence our summary word, teach. Moses is saying, this is what God told me to teach to you so that you could teach it to your children, so that it would go well for you in the land you are inheriting, and so that you would remember the Lord. So the first verse of our text is perhaps the most famous verse like in the whole Old Testament. Sometimes it's referred to as the Shema, which is the Hebrew verb for hear. That's the first word of that verse. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Now this passage would have been like the first passage that the kids memorized when they were little. And it would have been the passage that they said in their morning prayers and in their evening prayers. This passage was like their John chapter 3, verse 16. They would have put this thing on license plates and held it up behind the goalposts if they had them. Maybe this verse doesn't seem like all that much to us, but it's a verse that really encapsulates the gospel as God was slowly revealing it to his Old Testament people. You see, God was their God, and they were the only nation that could say that. And they were the only nation that knew that God was the only true God who saves. And so this one verse was kind of like their creed. Moses goes on to explain more about the truths that that verse proclaimed when he says, you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. And so the people could say, the Lord is our God, and they knew that they were his people. They belonged to him. So often, we might get the impression from books like Exodus or Leviticus or Deuteronomy that it's just like all law, just all the rules that God's people had to follow. Don't get me wrong, there is a lot of law in those books, but it's all built on the gospel truth that God had made them to be his own people. And so these were the laws that came along that set them apart as his own people. God had given his heart away to them completely. He had invested in this relationship, and so he wanted their hearts in return. He wanted them to be devoted to him. That's what any husband would expect from his bride, his people. And so Moses instructs the people, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Not just when things are going well and when it's easy. Not just a little piece of you with divided loyalties while you try and serve two masters. Or not just as a backup plan on a rainy day, but with your whole self all the time, completely and totally love the Lord. Then Moses goes on to describe the active way that he wanted the people to love the Lord by passing on these truths to their children. Moses says, these words are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. This is to be a lifestyle, an active throughout the day, all the time kind of lifestyle that goes along with a regular life of Sabbath worship. It's a lifestyle that realizes that life truly does not revolve around the Green Bay Packers or around grade school basketball, although that God does give us the privilege to enjoy those things along the way, we have to realize our life is about our relationship with God. Now, hearing all of that, you might think, oh man, Moses, that's a lot. That's a lot that you want me to do. I already feel guilty because I feel like I'm not getting to enough. I'm not teaching my children. I'm not doing all the things that I should be. And now I hear all that on top of it too. You might think, well, isn't that kind of what like their teachers are for at school, or their Sunday school teachers or their pastors? Isn't that kind of their job? And to some extent, yes, partially. Our Christian education system here at Mount Olive is set up in a wonderful way so that our teachers and our pastors have time, regular time in the classroom and in catechism and in religion class and in chapel and in music and choir and all the different ways for us to spend good time in God's word. But hear me say this carefully. All of that is only meant to be a supplement and not a substitute for you, dear parents and grandparents, and the vital role that you have in training up your children to know the Lord. God has given you that wonderful privilege and vital responsibility, and it's our joy here at Mount Olive to partner with you in it, to assist you and to support you in training children for their lives here on earth and for eternity. Now, as you hear all that, as you think about diving in, you could try like 20 different things at one time, and by day two, you could crash and burn again. But let me give you a different suggestion as you think about starting or restarting or refocusing. Don't try it all at once, but try a few things. Try one thing, establish one time, make it the time where you are going to do something with your family, teach something to your children on a regular basis, a time where you're going to show them the love that you have in your heart for God's word and for them. Make that the time and build on from there. Maybe it's reading a daily section from the Mount Olive Bible reading plan that we participate in. Maybe it's making the commitment to, on a regular basis, get up and go to worship and to Bible study, to Sunday school. Maybe it's learning your kids' memory work along with them, all ways of showing your children your love for the Lord. It's a way to say, do as I do and not just as I say. As I think back to my childhood, my dad, he was not a pastor. He was an exterminator. He worked in pest control his whole life, and he did a whole number of things at church at different times. He taught Sunday school, or he helped with the Jesus Care special needs program, or he led Lutheran pioneers. But maybe the thing that I remember most was a thing that was just him and me, a thing that we did that I don't think hardly anybody else knew about. You see, at our church, we had a church sign over in the cemetery. It was on the main road. It was that one way back in the distance, and it wasn't the fancy digital kind that we have at Mount Oliver. You can change it instantly. This was one of those manual ones where you had to put the letters up one by one. And so we had this heavy wooden box with all the alphabetized letters in there, and that was my job. We would sit out there, and I would hand him the letters one by one, and he would arrange those letters. And now some churches, you might drive by those signs, and they like to put something clever on there, like, do you need prayer conditioning? Come on inside. It's cool. Not my dad. No. There was 25 words worth of space on that sign, and they were going to be the words of God. And so he would sit at the table with his Bible, and he would read until he picked a verse that he thought would fit, a verse that he thought would be good to put on that sign, and then we would go. And it didn't matter if we were putting our blanket on top of a foot of snow and freezing our fingers off every week. We'd be out there spelling out the word of God for people to see as they walked and drove by that sign that week. Now, did he miss like a good opportunity that like we could have had a devotion about that verse as he was picking it out before we went? Well, probably so. He was more of a doer than he was a talker. And did I always want to go with him? Probably not. There was some times where I kind of made myself scared. I hid a little bit when I saw Dad get his Bible out so that maybe I wouldn't have to go this time. But as I got older, I started to get it. You don't do something like this week after week, year after year, if it doesn't mean something to you in your heart. And that's what made an impression on me. And that's just what Moses was talking about. Impress them on your children. Now, at this point, we make the switch from parents teaching to children learning. And to do that, we switch to the Apostle Paul's words to Timothy, which we can sum up with that word, learn. You see, the Apostle Paul recognized the wonderful gift that Timothy had received from his mother and his grandmother, who had trained him up in the knowledge of the Lord, who had taught him the truths of the Bible since he was a child. They had probably sang him the Greek version of Jesus loves me. And though his father was an unbeliever, Timothy's mother and grandmother gave him this great gift. And now Timothy is older, he's serving as a pastor, and Paul considers him to be his dear son in the faith. And this is what Paul says to Timothy. Continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. Timothy, you know how much your mother and your grandmother loved the word of God, and you know how much they loved you, and so you know how much you can love it too. How much you can trust in it and rely on it with all of your heart for all of your life. Your mother and your grandmother, above all else, wanted you to be in heaven. And so they taught you the thing that was most important in all of life. They taught you the word of God. I was reminded of the things that my mother taught me on the day of her funeral. It was shortly after my 25th birthday, and it was at her visitation. Everybody comes to comfort you, but nobody really knows what to say, and so they all kind of say the same thing. But not my principal, not Mr. Paschke. Mr. Paschke had known me since I was born. He had known my mother for decades. He was actually the one that had announced to my brother and sister at school that I had been born. And now on the day of my mother's funeral, in view of her casket, he came to me and he said these words, "You know the promises of God that your mother taught you. They are true for her today, and they are true for you." Out of all the things that were said to me that day, the sermon that was preached, that's the only thing that I remember. And so I say to you, all of you children who sang today or read or came up for the children's lesson, all the children of our congregation, I say to you, learn the truths that your parents teach you and learn the truths of the scriptures from your teachers and from your pastors. Listen to them eagerly and trust in them and learn them because they are the promises that will guide and keep you all of your life. Just because your parents took you to church when you were little does not mean you will go to heaven. But the truths of God's word taken to heart and received in faith by the Holy Spirit's power are the truths of the scriptures that will make you wise for salvation. Learn those truths and continue in those truths so that they are the promises and the truths that are true about you and for you on the day you take your last breath. So far in this Christian Education Week, we've talked about two things that probably make sense. We've talked about teaching and learning. But the last thing I got for you, and it didn't show up so good at the beginning, is a word that's a little unexpected. Switch. The idea for that word comes from Matthew chapter 18, where Jesus was addressing his disciples who seemed to be always worrying about the wrong thing. You see, as you get a little bit older, you start to worry about, like, who's the best and who's in charge and who has the final say and who gets to tell other people what to do. And it seemed to be what the disciples were asking and focusing on every time Jesus turned around. And so this time they just straight up asked Jesus, "Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" This is what Jesus says to them. Jesus called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." You may get used to teaching. You may get used to doing a lot of talking. You may get used to being in charge and having people rely on you. And God may be calling you to all of those different responsibilities. But don't forget that you also have to switch. You have to change and become like little children. You have to silence your mouth from speaking so that you can go back to learning. You have to take the truths of heart once again for yourself and stop thinking that you're in charge of everything all the time. Isn't that what little children do? They rely on their parents for everything. They totally depend on them. And so Jesus says, you must change and become like little children. Isn't that kind of funny that to children, God says to grow up in your faith and to become mature in your knowledge. And to adults, he says, you gotta change again and become like little children. Take on their humility and their reliance because children rely on their parents. And so Jesus wants us to rely on our God for everything. This past week, I had to learn again to become a child. And I had to learn it from my little child. See, this past week, we once again spent a week in Children's Hospital down in Milwaukee with our little Josie. And it's the second week that we've spent there this year, right after Christmas. We were there for like a week and a half and then a couple weeks home and then another week down in the hospital. And it was all quite the ordeal. She got sick with pneumonia again and we needed to take the ambulance down there. And she gets poked and prodded for IVs and labs. And every couple hours they come in. And because her pneumonia was so bad, they had to stick tubes down her nose and throat, digging for gold, trying to suck it all out. And there's machines and there's relentless beeping and there's doctors and nurses waking her up at all kinds of all times of night. It's probably a good thing that she doesn't much understand all of what's going on because it's all pretty terrifying. But despite being sick as a dog, she manages to smile. Despite having all the tubes and all the machines and all the doctors, she manages to smile because when she hears her father's voice or she feels her mother's touch, she knows that we love her. And by extension, she knows that God loves her, and that's enough for her in the moment to make her happy and to make her smile. So it is to be a child, to rely on God for everything, to not get angry and bitter like I wanted to be, but to know that God loves us because he has proved it forever in the life and death of Jesus Christ. So I say, today on this Christian Education Weekend, teach, learn, and don't forget to switch and become like little children again, relying on Christ for everything. Amen. Please stand. Thanks so much for worshiping with us today. We hope that God's word has strengthened your faith. To help us know more about the reach of our efforts here at Manav, we hope that you'll like and subscribe to our YouTube and Facebook pages, and that you also sign our online friendship register to let us know that you're listening today. God bless and keep you.